Hare Krishna, this is Dhanadhar Swami.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hi, Bo Henry. Good. Just give me the verse.
Okay, Canto 10, Chapter 16, Verse 21.
Okay, thank you. Okay. Yeah, I'm still trying to get my iPad to work with my notes, but I think I have another idea. At least when I'll have one more class, I believe. I'll have one more class, I believe, on in India on Sunday. And I'd just like to share with you what I'm doing this week in terms of the teachings. And it's really, I'm really very satisfied. I started teaching two classes a day. Every morning at 7:45, I teach a book called Bhakti Lok, which is a Bhaktivinoda Thakur's commentary on the second and third verses of the Upadeshamrita, which discuss the obstacles to devotion and the qualities that enhance devotion. And it's a very, very brilliant study. And, you know, by design, I don't advertise my class. I just want a certain group of sangha and intimacy and people that are connected with me and people that are super interested in the subject. And we have an incredibly great group of people. And every morning we meet. It's just such a pleasure. And then in the afternoon at 4 o'clock, I'm teaching Anjalila the CC. And I have a perfect facility to do this. And my inspiration is to actually spend more time here. Because there's nowhere in the world that I can do the amount of service that I can do here in terms of the thing I like to do best, which was share Krishna consciousness and spiritual life. Let me first tell you about the morning and just some of the interesting points we're discussing here. The verse is Utsayan Nishya Darya Tatatama Pavartate Janasangas Chalolyam Cha. These are the six qualities. So the first one is Utsahan, which is enthusiasm. And if I could just remember this point, just give me a second. Okay, yeah. Yeah, so discussing how important enthusiasm is for devotional service. Without enthusiasm. But the point that was really interesting at the end, it said enthusiasm without faith is useless. I'm going to actually look it up just to make sure I got the right point. Just give me a second. One second. I know I got it wrong. Faith without enthusiasm. Faith without enthusiasm is useless. I thought that was really interesting. Faith without enthusiasm. Because you can have faith But if you don't have enthusiasm, the whole thing in spiritual life is actually having the right direction and moving towards that direction. So you could have faith, and faith is so important. So you'll have the right direction that you're moving, but without enthusiasm. See, somehow or other, sometimes they get overconfident. I'm just going to have to look at the book for a second. One second. Okay, I'm just going to go on. I more remember what I'm discussing today, which is nischaya. And nischaya is confidence. And confidence is important to move forward. And basically, confidence means faith. And without the doubting soul, there's no auspiciousness. Without faith, one doesn't move in any direction. That's in anything one does, what to speak of spiritual life. But he makes another point that's really important, and maybe this is one thing I can discuss today, and then I can go to the CC, is faith or confidence without knowledge is useless. Because you can have faith in the wrong thing. And we can see that there are people who have faith, but they don't have the right conceptions, or they have a fanatic conception, or a speculative conception. And therefore, what's the use of their faith? But if they don't have knowledge, you know, the proper understanding, you won't put your faith in the right thing. So faith is essential, because without faith, you don't move forward. But you have to move forward in the right direction, and for that, you need knowledge. And therefore, Bhaktivinoda Thakur discusses that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ordered that everyone should understand the three principles of Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana, which are the three categories of knowledge. And Sambandha means is basically an understanding of reality. You have to have proper conception of reality and your relationship to reality. Then you have to have the proper, that's Sambandha, and then you have to have Abhideya, and Abhideya is the means to realize that. And then Prayojana, you have to understand what the goal is. So these three components are the components of any type of philosophical conception. And in bhakti, and I mentioned this many times, what Sambandha is, our metaphysics, our understanding of reality is God and God's energies. And our relationship to God. And then Abhideya is the means to realize that. And then Prayojana is the goal, which is love of Godhead. Because that's the goal. The goal is to live in reality, and in Krishna conscious view, what living in reality means is when you realize reality, you feel reality, you feel your love for reality, because you have a natural relationship with reality. Now, I gave the simple example when I was at my friend who's the Mali, the gardener, and a calf was born, and I got to see a calf born. Amazing, the calf was born, and then he was spread-eagled on his four legs, and then gradually the calf came up and then went right and licking the mother. The mother was furious, passionately licking the calf, and the calf was looking, and it was such intense love. I even watch outside my room, that, you know, between a monkey and a monkey child. You know, if you step on a monkey's child, or the baby monkey, then the mother will attack you. So there's just, when things have relationship, there's feelings between them. And we have a relationship with God. And when we realize it by the process of bhakti, and there's no other process to realize God except love. Because God is a person, people are only known in love or relationship. You don't know people by analysis. You know people by love. And love means that you give yourself to someone, they give yourself to you, and that's the only way you can deeply understand someone. So the only way in which we can deeply understand God is by the process of bhakti. And then when we do so, and we realize God, and God reveals himself to us, we love God, and we love God intensely. Because it's the ultimate relationship, that's the ultimate reality. All other relationships are actually temporary. Our relationship with God is eternal. It's our nitya dharma. It's actually who we are. We are parts of God, we're meant for God's service when we realize that. Anyway, so he said that we must have faith, must have confidence in bhakti, to move forward strongly in the process, but we have to have knowledge. And then he describes that these three categories are delineated in 10 principles. Anyway, that was the main point. Now I'll just get back to the Chaitanya Charitamrita, which I've been studying with this group, and that's the we're doing Anjalila 1, which is one of my favorite chapters. And Anjalila itself is significant because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that's the end of his life, Anjya, the pastimes at the end of his life. And his life is divided into three categories, and there's the Adilila, which is the first 24 years, and then there's the Madhyalila. Then for 6 years he preaches, and then the Atulila is when he retires to Puri, Jagannath Puri, to fulfill the internal reason for his descent, which is to experience the love of his type, most devotees, Sri Radha, at the height of her love. And it's very, very interesting, because what Anjalila means is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was already, when he took sannyas shortly after, he decides that Puri will be his base. And the reason that Puri will be his base is because his mother is quite devastated. She lost her husband, her older son took sannyas, and now her only other shelter also leaves home. And she somehow indirectly communicates a message that at least if he, because of the strict sannyas, the sannyasi never goes back to his home. It just shows how principles can be applied. I mean, the strict sannyasi, I refer to myself, my home is New York, so it would be hard not to go back there. I do visit my mother. But in that, Prabhupada said we can't be sannyasis like the days of yore, but at least we have to limit our social intercourse. But so he decides to stay in Puri because historically, thousands of years maybe, I don't know, at least hundreds of years, at least the time of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Puri was the backyard of Bengal. Even today, it's the only thing I can describe from my growing up is what Miami Beach was for the Jews in New York. My grandmother would go every single winter to Miami Beach for a month. What it was to the Jews, they would go to Miami Beach, and therefore there's always a communication. The Bengalis, they would go to Puri. Even today, it's like a beach or it's a resort. They would go to Puri. So his mother said, at least she would hear about him. It would just be too intolerable if, like her other son, just disappeared and you never hear from him again. I know one Indian gentleman, an older Indian gentleman who was very close to me many years ago, 20, 30 years ago. And of a family dispute when his son, who was 20, left home. After a year, there was absolutely no whereabouts to his son, and his wife died of a heartbreak. And then he vowed, I will never again return home until my son returns home. You know, and then he practically gave up. He only ate the rest of his life boiled sabji, milk, and fruit and yogurt. That's all he ate for the rest of his life. No spices, no sugar, nothing. So it is intolerable. The mother just, okay, she would be able to live if at least she had word of her son. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu settles in Puri. That may be the external reason. The internal reason is that it's actually going to facilitate living in Puri. The internal reason for his descent, it's a holy Nam, and the Ishtadev of Puri is Jagannath. And Jagannath is the form of God that is the object of the love that he is aspiring for. Because the love that he's aspiring for is that he wants to experience the love of Radha at the height of her love. And what Jagannath is the form of Krishna with the most intense love for Radha. Because it's the form of Krishna in separation from Radha, whose body transforms in intense separation with his topmost devotee. Anyway, he settles in Puri, and that's the Antilila. So the way the Antilila begins is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is coming in and out of Puri, but now he had gone to Vrindavan. And now he's coming back from Vrindavan. And when he comes back from Vrindavan, he's now going to settle in Puri personally. And it's a fact that if one wants to have concentrated spiritual practices, you want to have concentrated spiritual practices, especially today, you have to stay in one place. But for concentration. Even when we're chanting, we should be in one place. That's called an asana or a seat. And that seat has to be exclusive to our worship. And therefore, that's why regulation is so important in spiritual life. Because what regulation means is you set off the times of your day that are exclusive to particular types of activities. And because when you're chanting Hare Krishna, if it's not a time and a place for Hare Krishna, the mind is going to be distracted by other duties and responsibilities, especially to the modes of nature. As the day goes on, they become more intense, they cause distraction, they cause the enemies of meditation are two. They're the shape, passion, which means distraction, and loya, or sleep, or inertia. Anyway, the practice should be concentrated. And the play should be concentrated. So, only very, very rare souls in the modern age, I can think of a handful, are able to keep up a regulation and an intense sadhana when they're constantly traveling. What to speak of study or intellectual activity. So Chaitanya Prabhu has a mission. And to fulfill that mission, he has to do intense worship or bhakti. So now he's going to settle in Puri. And then the word gets out that Chaitanya Prabhu has returned. And then the word gets out in Bengal, that's where he's from, the Bengali Vaishnavas, and they decide to come to Puri. Now, there's a certain piety of a country where weather becomes regulated also. It's also easier to deal with to regulate your life and organize your life if you know what to expect in terms of the weather. So there would be a rainy season. And therefore you can deal with the weather and organize your life around the weather at that time. And when I was in India, practically, it only rains during the rainy season. And therefore, during the rainy season, because it was an agrarian economy and you can't really farm during the rainy season, then basically it was 4 months where people basically would dedicate to their spiritual life. I was meditating on this, you know, as people come from around the world, the country that has the least vacation, ironically, is America. It's just amazing. In America, somehow corporations got people to buy into, you know, 2 weeks, and then they can get 3 weeks maximum. And Colombia has the most, has the most vacation. Every month there's vacations, really, I have to say that. But anyway, 4 weeks, that's okay. Imagine, you know, you got a chunk of time. You can concentrate on your spiritual life. And you know, in India, that was the system. And the Gaudiyas, who were preachers, at least during Kartik, 1 month. And during that time, you do Niyama Seva. Niyama Seva means you do the same thing every day. Again, regulation. I love Kartik. It's the best time for my consciousness. I take a month only for Krishna, and I do the same thing every day. And I'm in a place where that, and you concentrate, and from concentration, realization comes, and from realization, faith comes. That's why it's so important in our spiritual practices to have a time and a place. Because then taste will come, and from taste, that enthusiasm will come, and that, and your spiritual life will increase. So they're free, and they hear about this, but it's a distance. And the Mughals are ruling India, and they congregate against around the great devotee in around a great devotee named Shivananda Singh. And he organizes and manages. He's a great manager. And therefore he's serving all the serving all the Vaishnavas. And you see, when you study Shastra, you understand that there's a storyline that goes, and then underneath the storyline, there's kind of a philosophical line. There's a message that's being developed. So the message that's being developed is not only entering the Dham, but entering Anchalila. Because we also have to have an Anchalila. Not in terms of just the end of our life, but the Anchalila for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is his internal mission. We also have to have an internal mission. And what is our internal mission? It's the same mission as Chaitanya. If we're Gaudiya Vaishnavas, our internal mission is to develop spontaneous devotional service. And what is spontaneous devotional service? It's a relationship with the form of God called Krishna, who one can love spontaneously. And spontaneously means without any restricting consideration, which would be in the form of reverential love, when the object of your love is majestic, then there's duty, there's obligation, there's fear. It's pure love, but it's somehow or other weakened by this. It's not as forceful. So our goal is to have our relationship with Krishna. So what Anchalila is showing, not only how the devotees are going to Puri to visit Lord Chaitanya, but how we also enter the Anchalila. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu shows us how we can, his whole life shows us how we achieve the goal. And specific at the end, he shows us the practices by which we can get those realizations. And it's basically the nine process of devotional service, chanting is the best. And if you chant without offense, you can get prema bhakti. So he shows us how to chant and how to develop a relationship with the name, who's Krishna. And anyway, that comes later in the story. But what comes now is the essential point of how to develop our relationship with Krishna, how to achieve spiritual perfection. And the essential point, the foundational point, on which every other point is based, is the shelter of an advanced devotee. And the shelter of taking shelter of an advanced devotee means that an advanced devotee will give you shelter. And that relationship, because what relationship does is it create a conduit from one heart to another. That's why it's so important on the path of bhakti. The six loving exchanges are so important. So important. The dati fritta grinati, guyam atyachi prichiti, gumte bojiate shaiva. To give gifts and accept gifts. To give gifts, accept gifts. To inquire in confidence, to explain in confidence, to give prasadam, accept prasadam. This kind of sangha, what it does, it opens your heart to the hearts of those who have joined in those activities. I know in the morning, what's happening, it's not just a class that I'm developing, but it's a sangha. Like-minded people are coming and sharing I'm sharing knowledge. They're listening to knowledge. They're asking questions. People, and it becomes a mutual appreciation. And sometimes people give gifts. Sometimes people leaving. I give them a book. I give a gift. People may give a donation. I may give something to them. It's just, we know what this means. And it's a sharing. I'm benefiting. It's not that I'm sitting up there and giving the class. There are many incredibly deep and sincere souls. And I'm also feeling their hearts. So one person to me, actually, Kinshin and his wife, Kinshi Krishna's wife, Bhakti Manjari, they live in the building. She comes to both the classes. And said, I thank her for coming. She said, no, thank you. And she looked around. She said, where do you get this sangha? Where do you get this sangha? It creates a unity of hearts. And you just feel the qualities of each other, the good qualities of each other just being transferred. But, you know, the story begins, and Shivananda Sen is taking the people to... he's taking them to Puri, and I think I told this story before, I don't know. But when the dog joins the Prikram, and he gives the dog shelter, and he feeds the dog is some, and this happens, animals sometimes join pilgrimages. And basically, they wind up doing the same thing everybody else does, walking on pilgrimage and walking in the kirtans. And he gives the dog shelter, takes responsibility, a servant forgets to feed the dog. He's brokenhearted. He can't sleep at night. It seems a little strange, you know. But on the other hand, it's a very, very potent point of how a leader... how a leader is responsible. I always make this point, and it's such a point in leadership, is that a leader can delegate authority and a person accepts that responsibility, but the leader still keeps the responsibility. And then bad leadership is when you delegate the responsibility, but you keep the authority yourself. Like a board of directors, terrible management keeps the decision-making process among themselves and then puts someone in charge who can't make the decisions to implement their will or inefficiently has to go back to the board or something like that. But no, even it was apparently not his mistake. He didn't shift blame. He didn't rationalize. He had taken responsibility and something went wrong and he accepted. That's character. That's character. And it's also natural. Natural. If someone takes shelter and you give shelter to them and they actually need shelter, it invokes your mercy, which is the form of love from above. And with that mercy... comes your heart, comes your blessings. Just like the cowherd boys. When they went to the river, you know, they're very thirsty that day, and they all dropped dead, apparently. And then Krishna saw them. And Krishna was in the mood that they were gone. And he looked at them lovingly. His glance of compassion and mercy is what brought them to life. It's just so natural when people depend on you to respond with shelter and love. We may have all had that experience of someone younger that took shelter of us and how much we love them and how much we bless them and how much we wanted to do for them and how much that benefited their life. And how much they imbibed our qualities when we do that. So somehow, rather than make a long story short, the dog goes back to Godhead. And then Borijan makes this iconic point about this story. I repeat it so many times. We should act in such a way that the heart of a Vaishnav melts, then everything will come out. That's the basis of Krishna consciousness. The blessings of an advanced devotee who we humbly have taken shelter of. It's such a, so natural. So, and we can think, what invokes our sympathy? What invokes our mercy? What invokes our compassion? And when we meditate on that, we should meditate on how we can reflect those same attitudes towards Guru and Krishna. The same attitudes that invoke our best, that invoke our compassion, that invoke our heart. Those same attitudes, we should meditate how we can offer that to Krishna. And then the second part of the story, this going to Puri, going to pilgrimage, is Rupa Goswami, his brother dies. And when his brother dies, he gets delayed, so he can't meet Shivananda Sena. So we see him, you know, going to Puri by himself, and we're following his journey. So that's the second journey. First, it's Shivananda Sena and his group, and we learn that lesson. And then Rupa Goswami's journey. And Rupa Goswami is basically, the underlying storyline is if you want to enter in to the Antilila and understand how to evolve your relationship with Krishna, you have to be Rupanuga. You have to follow Rupa Goswami because he's specifically empowered to do this. He gets the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He had that relationship with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He humbly took shelter of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And feeling that shelter is part of, real shelter really is an object of love that's worthy. Because shelter is where our needs are met. And our greatest need is for love. The highest love is love of Godhead. So, taking shelter means to fulfill our greatest need, which is to love, because that's where we're consciousness. We're meant for love. So somehow or other, Rupa Goswami was that soul that took shelter of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu so humbly. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's heart melted and everything came out. It came out to Rupa Goswami. So he had Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's heart. He had his inner feelings, his confidential feelings. And his confidential feelings was an understanding of worship of God that was so spontaneous and so intimate that that conception and understanding was not prevalent on the planet. I think Raghunath Das or Sukhamadar, they have this verse that says, Anarpita charim chara karunaya vatirna kalo samarpitam unakojvala rasam subhakti shriyam. Anarpita charim chara. Never before given for a long, long time. Anarpita charim chara karunaya vatirna. By his mercy in Kali Yuga, he's giving samarpitam unakojvala rasam. This brilliant feeling of intimate love for God, so bhakti is for him. He's giving his own feelings of bhakti. And somehow or other, Rupa Goswami had gain the confidence to be trusted with that. Because confidential things can be misunderstood, and therefore you will be misunderstood, and you will be, if you reveal your confidential heart to the wrong people who don't love you, they can harm you, or they can misunderstand you. So what you, and this is really what service means. Service is the expression of heart. If people trust you, they have to see you, that you love them. And loving them means it love manifests in service. That's the whole idea of bhakti. Bhakti is expressed in seva, which means loving responsiveness to the Lord. It's not just the love, it's the response. Because the response is the expression of love, which communicates the love. And therefore, service, humble service, is what melts someone's heart and shows that you've taken shelter and show. And this is the essence. This is the essence. This is the essence of chanting Hare Krishna. Ultimately, the chanting of Hare Krishna is the expression of your heart, which has been transformed into sound. Anyway, Rupa Goswami has this qualification, and then what happens, and this happens right one after another, so it indicates it's very, very important. What happens first is because he's alone now, he comes to a village called Satyabhamapur. Satyabhama is one of Krishna's queens. And he comes to the village Satyabhamapur. He goes to sleep and he has a dream. And Satyabhama appears to him and says, "You should write a separate drama about me." So what Rupa Goswami had done, and he started to formulate, was a drama about Krishna. Krishna grows up in Vrindavan, and then he goes to Dwarka. So he kind of meditates on that, and then when he comes to Puri, Lord Chaitanya is Haridas Thakur, and he said, "Lord Chaitanya, we're expecting you." So really, Lord Chaitanya is very excited. Lord Chaitanya's relationship with Rupa Goswami is amazing. Even among all the other great devotees, Lord Chaitanya is constantly glorifying him. Constantly glorifying him. And he even does it to test the other devotees to see if there's any envy in his heart. But no, it's a Vaishnava society. So there's no envy. One is happy when someone is advancing more than them. And in such a society, it opens the heart. You can open your heart. It's needed to open your heart. And you can, because there's no envy. So, Rupa Goswami, Lord Chaitanya, looks at him and said, "You should write a set." He tells the same thing, it's confirmed. There's different ways that God gives you messages. One, the devotees can appear in your dreams, or they can appear externally. So sometimes what our meditations are deep meditations in the heart. The heart is a probably a transcendental system, because the Paramatma is in our heart and it's in every other heart. So what's known in our heart can be transferred in a second to others' hearts. So if we have in our heart a desire for sadhu sangha, for good association, then God can inspire a Vaishnava to give you mercy. So anyway, the same thing happens externally, and he tells them the same thing. that Krishna never leaves Vrindavan. And he's different. He's different, which and I explained this many times. This is the key point in our understanding. That there is one God, but he manifests himself according to the love of the devotees. And even though that manifestation may appear like a separate person, it's the same God, just manifest in a different way. So we actually distinguish what are the different avatars, it means the same person manifest in a different way. When God is fully manifest, he's called Ete Chamsa Kala Pumsa, Krishna's two Bhagavan Swayam. When he's fully manifest, he's called Bhagavan Swayam, the original. And it's not exactly the original because they're all existing simultaneously. But at the same time, the original, in the sense that it's the fullest manifestation of God. It's God in love. And the fullest manifestation of God is not in majesty. And I discussed this point. Position covers personality. So the full Supreme Personality of Godhead is God as Krishna when he doesn't have a position, and therefore you can be his mother. You can be his lover, and you can be his friend. And then finally what happens, the next scene, so he tells that, Rupa Goswami understands, now I have to divide this drama in two. And he's having this understanding, and then he's in the Rathiatra, and he sees Lord Chaitanya dancing ecstatically. And such an important part of bhakti is poetry and drama, because poetry and drama, they encapsulate a particular mood in the way they can make you feel it. Where I think in prose, you can explain what it is, and I guess like, to some extent you can feel it, but poetry actually recreates the mood. Drama recreates the mood in a way in which you can feel it. Therefore, Sri Damodar says, you know, if you want to express bhakti, it has to be in poetry. And therefore, these expressions of love, these perfectly recreated inspirations of love in poetry and bhakti, are essential to develop that love. And it's an essential part of chanting Hare Krishna, because again, it's not just the syllables that make you successful. It's the mood in which you do it. And where do you get that mood? Well, Lord Chaitanya taught us you can get that mood from songs and poems. So it's part of the process. These songs are given by the great acharyas. It's part of the process. And so Lord Chaitanya was in the Rathiatra dancing, and there was a mood that he needed and wanted to cultivate. There's a mood that he wanted to cultivate, and but there was no verse yet written that he could use to help him cultivate that mood. And what is the mood? The mood is the same point. And although Radha met Krishna at Kurukshetra after 96 years, it's a different Krishna. You know, sometimes you say to someone, like, you're like a different person. It's the same person, but his mood may have changed towards you. Or, you know, you may have had a friend, and he was your friend, and then he become very famous. And then when you meet him, he's not your friend. And he'll say hello to you, but he's not your friend anymore. He can't be collegial. Now, you know, you were born in modest background, and now he's a very high person. And he carries that into the relationship, and you say, well, you're a different person. It's the same person, but it's different. And it's the same thing with Krishna in Kurukshetra, any place out of Vrindavan. It's the same person, but he's different. And how he's different? Because he's not Radharani's lover. What it says is when God wants to enjoy a particular love, when simultaneously the environment that nourishes that love manifests simultaneously. So when Krishna wants to enjoy love, intimate love, when God wants to enjoy intimate love, his whole manifests. And that's Vrindavan. So it Krishna is there, but it's a different person, and therefore Radharani's in separation. And the whole Rath Yatra festival is in the mood of Radha taking Krishna back to Vrindavan. She's in separation. Because God is there, Krishna is there, but it's a different person. It's Dwarkadish, Mathuranath. It's a different person. And that is the fundamental understanding of the Antya-lila. That the object, supreme object of love, is not just any form of God, but it's the person of God as Radha's lover and the friend of the cowherd boys and the darling of Yasoda. So, anyway, wow, I went a long time today. Anybody like to say hello or ask a question?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Yes. Hi, Bob. Anybody like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. This is Tota Gopinath. So good to hear from you.
Okay, you can hear the class?
Yes. Very well.
Okay, great. One. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
Okay, who said Hare Krishna first here? Say your name. Who is it?
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. This is Tatiana. Thank you for the class.
Thank you, Tatiana. Hi, Bo. Anybody else like to say hello?
Krishna, Maharaj.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
Hi, Hare Bo. Greetings from Vrindavan. Anybody
Hi,
else?
Hi, we miss you.
Yeah, we miss you here, too. Anybody else?
Hi, Krishna Kumar. This is Kishori Radha.
And Priya.
And Priya. Okay, great. Hare Bo. Anybody else?
Hare Krishna Kumar. This is Vajrajan.
Hare Bo. A few more people, and then we'll go.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Who's that?
It's Gordon.
Hey, Gordon. Hi, Bo.
Hi, Bo.
Who else?
Okay, we'll answer now. Manjikopa, do you just say the name?